us. I think he's very heroic.
And Alice
I think
Walker,
that we should support him.
We have to leave it there, but we do part two post-show. Go to our website at democracynow.org. Alice Walker, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Maté. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
No, Amy, thank you. Thank you for Democracy Now!, and thank you, listeners, for listening to WUSB Stony Brook, where it's 6 o'clock, and that means, once again, it's time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. I'm joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
How you doing? Welcome back.
Pretty good.
I didn't ask you how you were. I just welcome back.
You said, how you doing?
Welcome back. Oh, okay. I did say that. I haven't slept very much. But I said something after that, so I guess that sort of...
I feel welcome. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Yeah, it's great having you here.
It's great having you here.
Well, I'm always here. I can't seem to find my way out. But, you took another train into... But this time you came by way of a different state.
Yeah, my originating station was the Richmond Stamp Mills Road Station.
Uh-huh.
In Virginia.
Virginia, yeah.
The fine state of Virginia.
It's a fine state. It's a good state.
It's fine.
It's a state of being. I'm glad that you left from the right station, because there's two Richmond train stations. The Main Street station, that doesn't connect up here as much as the other one.
Yeah. It was the station to leave from, and I made sure to find the right one, because there's only one train leaving per day.
That's not true.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was available. I don't know. It's whatever.
That
I couldn't
other
miss
small
it.
Town.
I'd be stuck in Virginia.
That other small town that you were near, that only had one train per day, and that went a totally different way than the Richmond train.
I didn't want to stay in Virginia, okay?
No.
So I didn't want to miss my train, so I went to the right place.
You did.
Moving
and,
on.
Yeah, and your train was actually like a half hour early. That does happen occasionally.
Yeah.
So people know, trains aren't always late. They're just never on time, but sometimes that means they're early. What have you been up to in the last couple of months? I guess it's been.
Well, lots of things.
I actually know the answer to a lot of these questions, just the full disclosure here, but sake of the radio.
What
audience.
Do you want to know about?
Projects or adventures or plans or anything like that that you feel is appropriate to share with multitudes of people out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been to a lot of civil unions, also known as weddings.
Yes, I've heard of those.
Yeah, I guess this time of year, spring, everybody decides they want to get married. And I've had no less than 4 events. In fact, recall back when I left, I was on my way to be, I don't know if we talked about it any, but I was a best man. I had the opportunity, accepted the opportunity to be the best man for mm-hmm. one of my very close friends. And I've had a lot of other friends getting hitched, and family, as it were.
Uh-huh.
And so that's been sort of a theme. And that's actually what I was doing in the East Coast down in Virginia. I had another family member get married. So that was neat. Or a family member, which is distinct from friends.
Right, right.
And I was not in the ceremony, but I had other family members that were in the ceremony. And it was really special to hang out.
Well, it was kind of cool because none of your immediate family lived in Virginia, but yet you all went to Virginia to be part of this wedding. And you all stayed in a little cabin in the middle of some mountain or something. Out there in the sticks. And that's kind of a cool thing to do, is to go out there to a strange state with people that you know very well.
Yeah, I guess traditionally brides get to demand whatever they want, and they can get everyone to go someplace that no one has any business being there other than to celebrate this interesting, momentous occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was really from there, but there was a connection in their relationship, and that was why it was the setting for this event.
But you can demand that people go to like a foreign country or some out of the way
state.
If
they don't make it, there's some level of rudeness, I guess, if they don't put a, you know, which I think is a bit silly, but you know, it's their day, and if you can make it, you can make it. If you can't, I guess you politely decline. So that's been a theme that's been going on in my life. I, as usual, been working on a lot of photography stuff, bumping around in my place. I've framed up a couple more photos, trying to get a little bit of a show together, because I've never had any kind of showing, and I had a whole bunch of pictures on a certain theme, so that's been kind of fun.
Framing is not as easy as it might sound.
Yeah, it's cool. I really like doing it yourself. You can pay thousands of dollars to have it done, but I just got some cheap IKEA, you know, Swedish... cheap frames, and then like doctored them with some nice mat board, and there's a lot of tricks to it, and you can have a lot of fun with it. And I there's so many people. I did some for family members as gifts, and I don't know, people are really complimentary when they see my stuff printed like that. And it's a lot different than looking at a screen where it's light. It's just sort of on the wall, and it's a paper. It's and getting a different way of looking at digital photos or whatever kind of photos.
Getting the right frame is also very important.
Yeah.
The color has to either match or contrast, or it just has to be right. It's hard to explain, but
yeah,
I can tell when it's right and when it's not right.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things to it, and picking frames and all that, and it's interesting stuff. And so I was doing a bit of that. Gosh, I know I did some other really interesting things. I'm blanking a little bit. Yeah. I've been...
You drove on the bridge that collapsed shortly before it collapsed.
Yeah, I've been...
always dodging the bullets.
I was invited to go snorkeling or scuba diving, and I went on a couple trips, and one of them we were coming back along that roadway from...
But you've only been snorkeling, or you haven't been scuba diving?
I've not yet scuba dived, but...
There is a difference. I learned that I didn't even know this, but snorkeling is just when you... You're just basically on top of the water, right? Or maybe a little bit below the water? Is that
how
it works?
Yeah, because you have a snorkel, which is a tube.
And how long is that tube?
I'd say like a foot long.
Yeah, so you can't go more than a foot underwater, unless you hold your breath.
Yeah, you can hold your breath and then swim around underwater. And then when you get back up, you exhale to blow whatever water might have gotten into the snorkel.
Because
you have to clear the snorkel line. But you can do it. You can dive down. The only tricky thing is... In Washington, it's really cold, so I was wearing this neoprene wetsuit that was sort of making me float, and I didn't have any weights holding me down, so I was sort of like on the surface flailing around.
Wait. People do this, they attach weights to themselves to bring them down in the water?
Yeah, actually, the second time I went on a night dive, and I attached weights to myself, and I was able to be weighed down a little bit more, and it was actually just enough weight that as I would take a breath, my buoyancy would return, and I'd be just under the surface, and then you exhale, you go down a little bit. It just made swimming a little easier, and then, you know, your flippers are more useful because they're not half out of the water and stuff.
I don't know if it's just my overall paranoia, but it seems to me going out onto the water at night and then attaching weights to yourself and going into the water, all kinds of alarms are going off in my head as to why that might not be the best idea, but that's what people do when they want to not float as much.
It's an
old technique. I know that. Usually used for different purposes, but
yeah. Night diving and when the tide's coming in, and there's a lot to it, and that's why just that, as simple as it sounds, it's not like a full expedition there, scuba diving, but it's very much a good like educational thing. Even in like a couple feet of water, you kind of learn like how you behave with the equipment on and.
Uh-huh.
It was quite warm in the equipment, the exposure protection, it was almost like 14 millimeters of neoprene.
Why go at night? You can't really see anything. Is there an advantage to going at night?
Actually, the coolest thing about going at night is bioluminescence. So if you turn your flashlight off and you move your arms, there's all these glowing particles that start like flowing around, and they're activated by motion. So you could turn your light off and look underwater and move your arm around, and you'd see all these tiny little creatures start glowing.
And they're creatures? Are they plants? What are they?
It's like plankton and like little tiny bioluminescent creatures.
Wow.
I don't know exactly what kind of organism they are, but there is stuff that glows, and you can see that stuff a lot better at night.
Is this everywhere? Is this a particular place that you went to?
In a lot of parts of the ocean. I'm not really an expert, but yes, it's kind of a prevalent thing in the undersea habitats, you know, that surround our landlocked or land area land masses and stuff. And the Puget Sound has a lot of really interesting stuff. They might not be as present in other climates, but definitely in the Puget Sound there's a lot of that kind
of
stuff.
You've some interesting things.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a lot of fun, and
I cleaned out a closet.
Oh, you did?
That's what I did.
Oh, that's swell.
I haven't done anything. Well, I guess I did go on the 5-barrel bike ride. That was fun. So I was outside a little bit for that. Mm-hmm. But you know, I always have this trouble when people ask me, "So, what have you been up to the last week, month, year, whatever?" I always blank. I can't just come up with a list of. I know I've done something.
Yeah. I was doing a lot of bicycling.
Bicycling is very good.
Bicycling season is gearing up. I know you did the 5-barrel ride. I basically do a lot of errands, a lot of chores, and just try to get out in the area where I live. And when the nice weather hits, you can't stay inside. It's too mm-hmm. warm. So I did a lot of like those kind of trips and had a lot of fun just, kind of getting the cobwebs out and getting some fresh air. It's always a real nice thing, you know, going up hills and seeing how quickly you can get kind of back into shape and see if you can go a little farther. I've said it before, but I'm always amazed. If I can live my life and just simply be continue to be amazed by how my endurance on a bicycle, I'll be happy for life. Because it's so cool when you challenge yourself and then you can go further. You go up another hill or you go a different route or you explore a different area. And that stuff's great to me. Yeah. It's the best feeling, most joy. For the effort and you get to talk to people.
We got lots of hills around here.
I might gear up some bicycles. I noticed they got bicycles in New York City now.
We were in the city yesterday, and it was the first day of the city bike experiment. I guess it's a program now with thousands of bicycles.
Great.
Yeah, people are using them. People are riding all over the place, and it's really an amazing thing. Of course, every single bike says Citibank on it, but I guess that's something you got to live with if it's not going to be any taxpayer money going for this.
Stickers,
maybe. Might be, but I'll take them off. They're maintaining these things.
Excuse me.
But yeah, it's weird. You know, the bikes are strange. They're not. What kind of bikes would you call those? They're not like your 10-speed type bikes, are they?
They've got 3 speeds. They're internally hubbed. They're Shimano hubs and internally geared in the rear. They've got a generator hub on the front wheel. The wheels themselves are eyeleted rims, which are much stronger than cheaper rims.
Uh-huh.
The bike features a basket on the front. It's got, as I said, a generator hub that activates lights both on the front and the back, blinking red and then white in the front. It's a blue step-through design. That means the top bar is a bit low, which is especially useful for ladies, perhaps in a skirt or something like that. But it's fairly unisex. There's no gendered bicycles on these in this program. But it's a step-through design, solid metal welding, a real strong tube. I'm guessing it's a form of a chromoly steel and. Yeah, it's a pleasant handlebars. They're kind of cruiser handlebars that, you sit.
Well, I sat on one yesterday. I didn't ride anywhere. I just sat on one that was parked, and it was very comfortable.
Yeah, the seats are pretty good, comfortable seats, you know, for all kinds of riders. They're real strong bikes. They're very well locked, too. You cannot remove the wheels. There's a lot of security bolts and a lot of hardened stuff, which I'm sure was part of the process for implementing it, especially in a fantastically in a how do I say it clever city like New York as far as locking bikes up and stuff.
Well, what city isn't?
I think bicycle thieves are everywhere, but they have a special place in hell. It's, you know,
one of the bikes got stolen. They stole one of the bikes.
Really?
When it was being unloaded by truck to one of the stops.
Nice.
And that's when the thief made off with it. But, you know, it's going to be a very hard bike to ride around because you can't lock it up in the city bike stall because immediately as soon as you do that, it's going to register that bike.
Yeah.
And you can't lock it anywhere else because people are going to see a city bike bike locked up to something that's not a city bike stolen. People are going to know that's a stolen bike, so it's not the smartest of moves. So I think they
I mean, we wouldn't have bicycle thief pie. I mean, it's the main ingredient for that dish. So, I mean, without them, I think we wouldn't eat as well as we do. But
what do you think this program's going to work?
Oh, fantastically. I think it's really cool the way they deployed it. All of the kiosks are solar powered, and it's interesting. And it's cool to see some of the businesses I passed by before that I know had parking spots, and now they've got 30 feet of bicycle racking that's just going to keep cars from pulling in and stuff, and that's less localized exhaust. I mean, if the exhaust is now further across the street, someone who's sitting trying to eat and maybe hang out with young people or they have a pet or their granny's, you know, sensitive, she can sit there and eat and know that anybody who's starting up their horribly poorly inspected beater that's, you know, billowing exhaust, it's going to be a little further away, and I think that's going to make for a better atmosphere. Also, just the advocacy attribute, the more people that are actually riding bicycles, the more advocacy and the more knowledge, the more educating you do to drivers, and I think you'll get less indignance and rage from drivers because they're aware of cyclists.
And hopefully these cyclists know a thing or two about cycling in the city. I'm worried about people just getting on bikes and without helmets, too, because they're not required, and just doing stupid things. The way I see many cyclists doing stupid things already, like racing through intersections when they don't have the light and they don't check traffic, or terrorizing pedestrians as they're trying to cross the street, or going the wrong way, various things like that, things that are easy not to do. When I rode in traffic for the first time in New York City since I was a kid in Queens, I used signals. You told me use signals. You use signals all the time.
It's a form of communication.
Nobody else used signals. Saying, yeah. I'm turning here, I'm stopping, turning right. By the way, which I meant to ask you a couple of weeks ago, which is it? When you're turning right on a bike, do you stick out your right hand or do you hold your left hand up in like an L type pattern? Which is it? In a car, I know it's
I always
it's
do
the latter.
A fist with my left hand.
I thought that was
you
right
also
on. Or
go,
something.
You can also do point your left hand up. I like the right angle. You can also do a straight out right arm. But both are legal.
But you don't generally do the right arm.
I don't like doing the right arm because my right arm is stronger. I'm dominant, so I can hold the handlebars and remove my left hand.
I see. Okay.
And I just do left signal with left hand, so I do all my signaling with my left hand, but that's just a preference.
Signaling is important because, folks, it tells automobiles, for one thing, what you're going to do, and they can plan for that.
Yeah.
And it's important. It's not a question of who's right and who's wrong or who should be where. You want to make sure it's clear because you're the one that's going to get hurt if there's miscommunication or mistakes made. You know, and that's something that I'm really worried about with a lot of people who might not be trained in the city riding around without helmets. I'm hoping they're better riders. I'm hoping that maybe they can teach other riders something.
Nah,
you don't think so?
I disagree. I think just the overwhelming number of bikes that are going to be on the road now, both private and city-owned, it's going to dramatically eliminate how treacherous it is. Because they'll have to be more accountable. The more cyclists take over the road, the more ownership they have of it, and the less they look like roadkill. Mm-hmm. If you have 10 cyclists in a several-block stretch, I think the cars are just going to have to give you a lot of space and respect because you have 10 people out there. And it just I think that's a rational concern, but it's fleeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but mistakes always happen. People open car doors without looking, and they make right turns without looking.
There will be no shortage of mistakes, but the bicycle contingent in New York City will become so large and so powerful as a result that I think drivers will be much more on guard themselves because of the consequence. If you run over 10 cyclists because you're an idiot.
10 cyclists?
Well, whatever. If you're careless, you're going to have a lot more litigious stuff going on because you hit this guy, you did that. It's really quickly going to educate people. And flashing lights, all of the warning signals and the communication, drivers are just going to be hyper aware because the sheer volume is a measure of advocacy.
But what I'm
this
saying
is, document. You can look it up.
Yeah, the cyclists have to also be aware, and I've seen too much of them not being aware, just simply assuming people are going to get out of their way, and that's really ignorant because you're the vulnerable one on the street. And I just, that attitude is what gets me sometimes. I saw a cyclist hit 3 cars at an intersection when I was coming to the city once. It was a red light. They were all not moving, but he was basically bouncing from one to the other. I don't know what he was trying to prove, but you see that kind of, I don't think you'll see it with the city bikes. I think you'll see tourists that are actually, careful and looking where they're going.
Okay. You really want to talk about that. I'll talk about it. Like, basically, I think private cyclists that have that attitude need to get off their bike a couple days a week.
Yes, it would be nice.
Because I think what happens is, say you commuted to work 4 times this week, and you had several instances fresh on your mind where somebody cut you off, somebody yelled at you, somebody threw something at you, and you got to go to work, and your coworkers stink, and you hate your life. Mm-hmm. So, 5th day, it's Friday, right? You decide, I'm going to blow this red light. I don't care about this guy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You've got this whole week of feeling snubbed, and you decide you're going to become a jerk on that 5th day. Now, this is all hypothetical, but you get my point.
Right.
People that ride a lot have a lot of evidence for being angry at drivers, because I don't care how much you're talking about bicyclists doing stupid stuff. There are way more stupid drivers.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally. My point is that the one who's going to get hurt is the cyclist. That's why cyclists have to be extra careful. It's their life that's on the line. A motorist isn't going to feel anything.
If they're being stupid, they're not being careful by virtue of that. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think... Yeah, anyway, you get my point.
Yeah, I think we agree on this because I've heard other people just basically say things like, well, cyclists are always right. And it's just, I don't think that's a healthy attitude to take because they're not. And I see so many mistakes, see so many rules being discarded and just not observed, things that are meant to protect them.
Well,
and I think, you know, I'm just looking out for the people on these vulnerable devices that could really get hurt by much heavier devices.
Yeah, you're definitely exposed on a bicycle, and that's a choice you make when you get out on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway,
I think wearing helmets is important. I really wish somehow, because in your state, helmets are required. You could not do what we're doing in New York City now.
Not in the state. In the city of Seattle, helmets are required by law.
All right.
King County and the remaining counties in Washington State do not enforce any kind of helmet law, as far as I know, but I don't live in other counties.
Now, in New York City, obviously, there's a lot of, as we've mentioned, cars. Helmets are important to wear. Unfortunately, it's not required, and they say that they didn't want to require it for this program because it would make less people ride bikes, which I'm not sure.
Again, the advocacy.
Yeah, but how many people are going to pay the price for that? I don't think it's impossible to have helmets available near these things or just encourage them. I did hear that Citibank is mailing out coupons for helmets for everybody that signs up, which is good.
I don't think it would be hard to reach out to a helmet manufacturer like Specialized or Gyro or Bell or all of those companies. I'm sure that they would put something together and be able to come up with a cool way to get people to wear head protection. That's a fantastic idea. But I think requiring it would... I disagree that requiring... I mean, people should be allowed to be stupid. You know, that's kind of the American way.
It's a libertarian way, but we can have that conversation some other time.
Well, with regard to the helmets, I don't know. I guess I disagree in other realms, but...
As far as comparing it to the other cities, I mean, people say that, well, nobody in Amsterdam wears helmets. It's, you know...
They don't have to because their cities are designed for that.
Exactly.
And this is a step.
New York City is designed for cars. It really is. You might not like that fact, but that is a fact. And that's why it's important to be careful and look out for things.
Absolutely. But with these racks and some of the paths they've created and those kinds of integral changes, you're changing the structure of the design of the way
some of the paths.
It is.
Yes.
It is after the fact. But when you create raised paths, when you create dedicated lanes, even green, we have these green spots at the beginning of an intersection in Seattle. I don't know if you have those here.
Where you can cross safely.
It's like basically an adjunct to the lane, and at an intersection, there's a green box, and the green box is where bicyclists can go. So if some guy in a car rides right up to the crosswalk, he crosses the green box, and so you can't actually... that's sort of a bicyclist area if there is a bicycle there. But creating those kinds of things make it safer, and thus you would not have as many high-speed and cyclist collisions where helmets are really necessary.
Right. Like, for instance,
for survival.
Avenue B is a good example of this. It's basically one lane each direction, park cars on either side. And the bike lane is simply a picture or a painting of a bicyclist on the street in the same lane as the cars. That's not a bike lane. That's a bike in a car lane with a car, and that's very dangerous. It's not the same thing as having a protected lane that's separated.
It's like a shared lane
is
what that's called, or like a ride share, but it's something like that.
You can't share the same lane with a car and a bike unless you're both going 5 miles an hour. It just doesn't work out, and we just need to do a better job of that. I'm all for it. I want to see this work. But I want to see it work properly, safely, and intelligently. But it's historic, and it started yesterday.
Yeah.
And we got to use it. We can't use it yet because we're not annual members, but you can be a daily member starting, I think, next Sunday, or a weekly member, even a monthly member. I did see one complaint. Of course, everybody's complaining for one thing or another, or it blocks the doorway, or it doesn't look right, or it's parking spaces. And I don't accept any of those. I did see one complaint, though, that I was wondering about from a bike shop owner. Who rents bikes out to tourists for $30 a day. And, of course, now Citibank is doing it for $10 a day. So half of his income is now down the toilet, apparently. So I hate to see bike shops suffer because of this. That would not be a good thing. But if it just gets more people riding, then that's nobody loses, really.
Yep.
But I didn't expect to spend as much time talking about this, but I guess that's something we noticed yesterday.
Yep.
And
I don't know. Bicycling's cool. That's yes. That's one of the things I did at home, and something we did here. Yeah. And,
I just found out today the 17-year cicadas. You've heard about them, right?
Yeah.
There's billions of them that are currently coming up from underground and invading the area. I just found out today that they're not coming to Long Island. The way everyone was talking, I thought the entire East Coast was going to be blanketed by them. They're going to Staten Island. For some reason, that's as far as they're going. Staten Island, I think Connecticut, but not New York City, not Long Island.
So why does that disappoint you?
Because I want to see them. I want to hear them.
You never see them.
But you do see them. I was a kid once, and I remember seeing a whole bunch of them. And not since then have I seen it. It must have been
but
a different
who cares?
Fruit. Who cares? I mean, it's something.
It's a bug.
But it's a big bug.
And it makes an annoying sound.
It makes an annoying sound. You're very in tune with its presence. You know, it's there. It's something.
So?
I just like things that are different, you know, variety in life, all that nonsense.
It's like somebody missing, you know, blowers and weed whackers in their suburban area.
But
like,
you
oh,
hear that
away from the suburbs.
Every day you hear that. If they only came every 17 years, then okay, I'd be looking forward to them.
Oh, okay.
But this
point
is something.
Taken.
Yeah. So maybe I'll go to Staten Island just to see them. I read a comment where
I don't
someone,
like the cicada.
They had the flood and they had the blizzard. Now they have the locusts in Staten Island. What kind of message is being sent?
Biblical.
It is, yes. You want to take phone calls? Because we haven't done that.
Yeah, I don't care.
In,
sure. That'd be great.
Care. No, I care.
I mean, I don't care if we do or we don't.
Well, yeah, we should because we haven't really been taking very many phone calls over. I've been doing a lot of talking and, you know, people say don't do that so much. So how about if we...
I don't care that we do. You know.
I understand. I know. If people call in, then we'll take phone calls. You know, and you can't blame me for yammering on if nobody calls, right? That's that makes sense. So let's start by going into delay.
Aren't those two different issues, though?
What? How so?
Well, phone calls and you yammering on.
Well, if there's no phone calls, what's going to happen? I got to do something. It's not a music show. I'm not allowed to play music.
I'm just kidding. I think I'm yammering, too.
Well, we're both, yeah, both yammer. But that means I'm yammering half as much, you know, as normal.
Wow.
And, if we get a good debate started, then it might actually be interesting. So the phone number is 631-632-6901, area code 631, exchange 632, extension 6901. Let us go into the ley land, and hopefully we won't sound too distorted or overmodulated, and hopefully we'll be able to take some phone calls.
Hi, I'm Neil Innes, and you're listening to WUSB, Stony Brook. Stony Brook? Stony Broke. No, Stony Brook.
And we are back in the Leyland. It's currently 25 minutes till the end of the show. We've made it into the Leyland successfully. Kyle, are you here too?
Yeah.
Good,
it
good,
doesn't
good.
Hurt as much as I thought or remembered it did, but...
Yeah. Now all we need is a phone. And look, we have a phone call, so why don't we go to the phones? Any reason why we shouldn't?
No, please do. Take it.
Here we go. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. The button doesn't work. Can you believe that? Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Oh, hi, Emmanuel. This is Rose Zaki. I'm calling just to ask you to remind people that on the 1st of June is the Bradley Manning rally at Fort Meade in Maryland.
Okay. Tell us what's involved in doing that.
Bus is going. If you just go online, you can go. You can go on Facebook to Bradley Manning, Save Bradley Manning, BradleyManning.org, and they just made a third bus going from New York City, so you can go for the day. You know, Daniel Ellsberg's going to be there with Anne Wright. You know, just a lot of people in support of Bradley. And I called you before. I've been to the pretrial hearing, so I'm going to stay and go into the court-martial, you know, if they let us in. So it's just, it's really important that people go and that they show support for him.
Now, when is this again?
This is on June 1st at Fort Meade in Maryland. If you go to BradleyManning.org.
That's on Saturday, right?
That's on Saturday, June 1st, yeah. Okay. And if you want to go just for a day, you can take a bus from New York City. All the information's on.
And this is to Fort Meade, you say?
Yeah, yeah, in Maryland.
Yeah, we Kyle, we've been there. We went to Fort Meade.
Yeah, okay. So.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Do you know where in Fort Meade they're going to be doing this?
I could look it up, but I don't want to waste your time right now.
No, it's because a lot of people don't have access.
Or just go on the website.
Okay, well, for people who aren't connected to the internet right now, just it's good to give out as much information as
we
can.
Let me
it's just when we took pictures at the NSA, we were in Fort Meade. In fact, we got stopped by the NSA police and had quite an adventure there. So I'm familiar with the area to that degree.
Right at the military base. I'm looking it up while I'm talking to you.
Okay. Okay, and I'm pretty sure that's where we were, right at the military base. We're looking at the all the surveillance equipment that they have over there.
Yeah, right.
So what time do the buses leave?
The buses leave about, I think it's 7 in the morning. Boy, I'm not prepared. I thought everybody would go on the internet.
So this is a court-martial hearing? Where's the
actual? Marshall is on the 3rd.
Okay, it's on the 3rd.
3rd, yeah, there's a big rally, and that's what the buses are going for. And the address that I have is... I don't have the address.
Is it possible to attend the court-martial, do you know?
Yes, yeah. I went in for the
for
the pre-trial hearing, and they let you in, as long as, you know, we all wear the truth shirts. But you can't wear anything else. You know, you can't wear anything that says Save Bradley Manning or anything.
Okay.
It's route, I found it. It's route 175 and Reese Road.
Okay.
Fort Meade.
Now, I'm actually more interested in attending the court-martial, if that's possible. Do you know if a lot of people are going to that?
Well, they last time they let as many as can fit, and that was all of us. But this time I think there's going to be more people there. Although, a lot of people are just going for the rally on Saturday, and then they're going home. I mean, there's a chance you might not get in, and there's some things that they're not going to make, you know, have the public hear, you know, this private information that they, confidential. But, you know, as far as I know, we can get in. They let you fill the courtroom. So that's what was my experience last time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, great. Do you know what's expected to happen this time? Because he pleaded guilty to some of the charges, but obviously not to all of them.
Right, right. Well, they're going to try to prove the prosecution. They just got permission to try to prove that he was aiding the enemy, which he denies.
Well, unless you consider us the enemy, you know, the American public.
By enlisting?
Just by revealing information and... And having the press and the people of the world here, I mean, that is the enemy to any government, I guess. So,
the last time, every news reporter, journalist were there, except from, like, the mainstream. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, BAI was there, and people from France and even Russia, Russian news.
Well, Russia Today, they're big into this story, so they'll definitely be there.
Yeah.
All right, well, interesting. Thanks for the info. And can you give out the website again?
Yeah, it's bradleymanning.org or savebradleymanning.org. There's a few different ones. You just Google it, and you're going to come up with all kinds of things. You can, you know, put in for the march.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it'll all come up. I should have called you more prepared. Sorry.
All right, you're not going this weekend, though?
I am.
Oh, you are?
I'm leaving Friday.
Okay, so call us next week. Let us know how it went, because we're very careful. If we don't go ourselves, that is.
Okay, sure.
All right?
All right, thanks.
All right, good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
Again, our phone number is 631-632-6901. If there's anything that you would like to share with us or question us about or whatnot, you know, that's what we're here for.
Compliment us.
Well, you don't have to do that. I know that's hard.
Criticize
you
us.
You should certainly do that. That's a lot easier. 631-632-6901, and again, we do accept calls from all over the world, I believe.
So yeah, country code 1.
Yeah, so we don't discriminate, and we don't bar anybody from being a part of the process. And this is the magic of radio, where you can actually participate. You know, you can't just go to any other radio station and call in and be on the radio. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
happens a lot less than you might think. You have those AM shows where people call in, but it's basically thousands of angry conservatives calling in at the same time. So,
and they have screeners and stuff. I mean, we're the screeners.
You got to say the right thing here. Yeah, it's right here. The only thing we have is the delay system, and that's required by law. So we just basically
there's lots to talk about too.
We don't know what's on the other end of that flashing red light.
Yeah, it could be anything.
But right now, it's nothing because it's not even flashing. We're not asking for money, folks. We're just asking for
insight.
Words.
Yeah. What's the phone number again?
631-632-6901. Or you can also dial 631-632-WUSB if you have letters on your phone. You know, and that'll go to the same place.
Yeah, a lot of cell phones don't have letters on the phone. Or they're in the wrong place. It's terrible.
Listen to us yammering, trying to kill time because no one's calling.
That's, or it's just a piece of glass.
It's just, it's the magic of radio when you can do that. And I got to tell you, folks, it's helped me in public speaking something fierce, because just being able to talk about nothing because something isn't going right and you can't fill the time otherwise gives you the sense of confidence that you can just sort of survive any catastrophe, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay, so that AV system's not going to be working for another 10 minutes. All right, well, I'm just going to keep talking in front of this crowd of 6,000 people. And keep them entertained.
Yeah.
While I wait for things to right themselves. Oh, we have a call. I was just getting into that. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
While I wait for things to right themselves.
Yeah, please don't do that. Talk with your voice.
Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, that's my voice. That's not what I wanted. Did I not make it clear? I didn't mean just call up and hold a phone to a radio. Could you maybe explain it better, Kyle?
Yeah, no imagination.
So speak with your voice. You have something to say, right? You're a human being. You've got opinions. Everyone has an opinion. I could call a number at random and ask someone what their opinion is without even telling them what the subject is, and they would have an opinion, probably about me, but they express it.
Yeah.
So the only difference is you have to lift up something and dial 7 numbers or 10 numbers, depending on where you are. That's all. It's almost as easy as tweeting.
With your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. It's mouth tweeting. That's what it is. Ridiculous. That's what it comes down to, Kyle. That's, yeah. Look, that line's ringing, but that's the office line.
Oh.
Someone's getting a call in the office. They get more calls than we do on the air. All right. Well, you know, we've been busy. Haven't really prepared all that many things to discuss. Other than just random conversation back and forth.
What's your favorite color?
Well, it was red when I was growing up. Then it changed to blue somehow.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
I really like green.
We have a phone call. We'll
purple
get back
too.
To this.
I like lilac.
And good evening. You're on radio, off the wall radio. Speak up, please.
I've been listening to this particular DJ since the Tripod Family was on back in the early 80s.
Oh, my God. Wow. You really have been listening to the radio a long time.
Yeah, I remember Mike Bifocal on the Blue Show on Tuesday nights. Oh, yeah.
Wow. You remember the Mike Bifocal theme? That was the best theme ever.
It was.
I've got it someplace. Do you know, do you have internet access?
I'm sorry, say again?
Do you have internet access? Yeah, the internet. Do you have access to that?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I'm low tech.
Well, the thing is, you can listen to every single one of those programs online now from the 1980s.
Wow, you're kidding.
Yeah, yeah, they're all there. If you go to www.2600.com/voli for Voice of Long Island, you will find every single one of the shows that we did back then, including the Tripod Family. It's all preserved.
Great. You guys remind me of Bob and Ray doing that stuff, you know? It was very good. Very
well, Bob
good
and Ray, they were the inspiration, so that's a compliment that we remind you of that.
See that?
Yeah.
I was right on that. Listen, I did want to say a couple of things. I don't know how it's kind of crazy, but just a couple of opinions that I have. I'm a progressive, and I think we need to have the constitutional convention again. You know, I mean, the forefathers who are so glorified in their wisdom thought that it might be a good idea to have one every once in a while. You know, I mean, we haven't had one in 200 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about time, I guess. We'll be involved in having one.
You know, and I can think of a lot of ways we could spend our money a lot better if you bring the Iraq, you know, I mean, Afghanistan and all of your veterans home.
You raise a good point. A lot of countries actually have ratified and changed their constitution over time. We've done that a little bit. But not on a very comprehensive level, and I don't know. There's so many silly things we put energy on with politics. That would be probably worthwhile.
Judges shouldn't be around 20 years. They're too old. I mean, 20 years is a maximum. You know what I mean? They just get too old and too cranky and too whatever.
Yeah, totally. They have a little fiefdom, and they don't really add anything to the process.
4 years for a House representative, maybe 4 years for a senator instead of six.
Then there's a lot of things that change in process, and if people don't stay fresh, stay current in their area of law or whatever, they might not understand what's actually being presented, and thus cases will go in ways that they wouldn't ordinarily if they were better versed in what is actually technically going on, especially with the way media and a lot of journalism, in relation to Bradley Manning, good example, all that. So.
Yeah. Well,
every other country that's a democracy or democratically inclined has updated their constitution over the last few decades at least. We shouldn't be afraid to do that. We should plunge into the present.
No, we shouldn't.
All right, but that's great that a voice from the past is reminding us of that. So I'm glad. Have you been listening the whole time since the 1980s to WUSB?
I don't know. I don't listen exclusively to USB, but depends on the show, you know?
Well, I'm honored that you still listen to this particular person.
Oh, yeah. You guys are funny.
All right. Thanks for calling. And and do check out online so you can hear some of those voices from the past.
Will do.
All right.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. That was really nice. We have another call, too. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Am I on air?
You're on the air right now.
Really?
Yeah, really. Go ahead.
Well, I just felt like calling and saying, I heard the guy saying before that he likes the color green, and I like that color, too.
Did we say green? I said blue and red. Did you say green, Kyle?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You like green.
I really like green, but I also like lavenders and lilacs, because purple, yeah, purple's a really interesting color, and it's kind of the mix of blue and green, right?
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way, but yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like the color of the woods and everything. It's real nice.
That's cool. Where are you calling from, by the way?
What?
Where are you calling from?
Oh, Riverhead.
Riverhead, cool. Oh, well, let's,
yeah. Eating some pizza right now. Picked up some pizza.
Well, they have pizza out there in Riverhead and all kinds of other things.
What?
It's really nice out, and I'm sure in Riverhead, too, just being back here in on the island, I've just noticed how lush and beautiful it is. So there's plenty of green outside if you go for a walk or a bicycle ride or whatnot. So get out and enjoy it, especially even in the rain. It changes it a little bit, but it's beautiful to be back here. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Keep listening.
All right.
Well, we're getting a good mix of listeners, I think.
Yeah.
It's good to know people are out there. We inspire that guy in Riverhead to pick up the phone and call, tell us about the colors.
It's a worthy conversation.
Simple as that, just having a nice conversation about colors. I never really talked about colors before. I've talked about color. I've never talked about colors.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. A lot of them. Now, I'm wondering, a mixture of red and blue, would that not get you lavender? Or you said it was blue and green. I'm not sure.
It depends on if you're talking color or pigment.
Oh, boy. I wanted to leave pigment out of it.
All right. I mean, it's true, though.
We need some crayons. Get Finn. Finn always has crayons on him.
I think red and blue light is orange. Now I'm confused.
Yeah, let's do some research before we delve into something controversial. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how's everybody today? Good afternoon.
We're good. Where might you be calling from?
I'm in beautiful downtown Port Chef Station.
Oh, wow. That's kind of uptown-ish, but downtown Port Chef Station. Yeah, that's nice.
Good for you.
You're right about that. That was my fault.
You ever notice there's a lot of barbershops in Port Chef Station?
There
are. There's like three on the same block. I can't figure that out.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of hair to be cut. Much like the last guy, I'm not having pizza because that's all there is to eat on the island here. I'm actually waiting for a salad.
You're waiting for a salad. That's probably healthier.
He's eating his greens.
I think so. I'm lazy anyhow.
Uh-huh.
But what I wanted to ask is, Kyle, what do you think about the a lot of people going back to rangefinder cameras? I'm an amateur photographer, and I love to go in the city and do a lot of street stuff. And not only just in Brooklyn where the pork pie types are, but in Manhattan.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people. Now, whether they were, you know, tourists or what have you, okay, I saw a lot of people with the old, I'm going to just call them black and silver rangefinders, you know, insert your favorite brand there. I see an awful lot of them. What's going on?
Well, a lot of the older rangefinder models, well, they've got several digital versions now. So, I think people are buying that form factor. Basically, where those cameras came from, it's a lot of street photography where the small, quiet rangefinders came from. And in larger formats, they're less concealable. But I think for urban photography, they're really great because they're often very quiet if it does have a shutter. And many of the manufacturers are coming out with models that are digital, so they look a lot like them. And they're interchangeable lens systems, so it's not quite a point-and-shoot, because a point-and-shoot has lag. I'm sure you've experienced that with the shutter. You press the shutter, and the photo gets taken a noticeable length of time thereafter, and so you miss the shot you were trying to get. And an SLR can be quite cumbersome, heavy. You can't put it in your pocket. So when you go from like a cell phone camera to like a point and shoot camera to perhaps a digital SLR or a much larger format camera, whether it's digital or film, there's this like niche, it being now very easy to integrate digital, there's this kind of niche of cameras that are slightly better than a point and shoot, because the point and shoot cameras don't have as many manual features, so you can't do as many like artistic things. You can't manipulate the settings the same way you could with an SLR. But say the same person, so they want something better than a point and shoot, but they don't necessarily want a digital SLR. But they also want to be able to like conceal it, so because of the size of the SLR. So there's a lot of factors in there, but there is definitely a niche of these kind of mid-size cameras, perhaps ones that do interchangeable lens systems, and they're also doing like a lot of HD video, both in the SLRs, but also with these sort of better than point and shoot cameras. And there's a lot more to it, especially the image sensor size, two-thirds size or full frame sensors for lower noise and other kinds of technical things. There's a lot to it, but you're going to start to see people really seeking those out. And especially the hybrids of like an antique brand, something that did the older versions, but has the newer electronics in it. People really like it because they're a handsome camera. They're made out of good materials and they're not going to break, and they do really high quality stuff. But I could go on and on. Hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you sure did. Yeah, because I see a lot of that. I don't have one myself. I shoot with a D3, and I got that only due to the fact that I don't want a video camera in my DSLR. But I do like to, you know, go in and say when I'm not, you know, doing something, you know, how do I say it? When I'm not going into the city to do something else, I always like to take a camera with me just in case. But like you said, carrying a big DSLR is cumbersome.
Yes.
Et cetera.
You look like a tourist. You look like a tourist. You look like, and it weighs down your neck, or you have this enormous lens, and you can't put it away. You must carry an extra bag, and there's a lot of that. And I don't actually have any of these kinds of cameras, but there are so many models now. It might be a good thing to keep an eye on. I saw a really gorgeous digital Leica the other day when we were in the city. That was really impressive. Those can be up to $10,000 easily.
M9?
Yeah, the M9. It's got Zeiss optics and everything. I saw somebody with one of those. I believe that's the one you're talking about. But they're pricey. They can range anywhere from $300-$400 to like $10,000. So it's a big market.
Yeah, it sure is.
Thanks for that call. We are running out of time.
Oh, okay.
All right, but I hope that answers your question. You definitely asked the right person.
Yeah, next time I call, I'll say that I've got it.
Okay.
Cool.
Keep us updated.
I'll do that. Talk to you guys later.
Take care. Well, we had a good flurry of calls, I think.
Yeah, I did take a breath in that last rant. I was
when you get impassioned about something, it's something to behold. But yeah,
I love it. I'm sorry if everybody was sort of falling asleep or changing the channel.
I don't think photography is something that more people are into now than
I
ever
before. I love
this
stuff. I love debating it. I love talking about it.
You love shooting it too.
And, oh heck yeah, capturing beauty.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And We're going to be involved in all kinds of fun photography-type projects in the near future as well, video projects and things like that. We've got OHM coming up, the hacker camp in Holland coming up at the end of July, beginning of August. We're going to be talking more about that in the weeks to come.
Oh, gosh, yes. So excited.
It's going to be an interesting summer, all kinds of fun things going on. If you would like to write to us, ask us any questions, or issue any demands, our email address, otw@2600.com. And we'd love to hear from our listeners, whether you listen to us live or later on sometime. We'll be back again next week with another action-packed edition of Off the Wall. Any last words, Kyle?
Oh, it's good to be back here.
Good to have you back. We'll see you next week, folks. Good night.